the Philippines too. But just first of all, if you could find Ezra chapter 4. Ezra chapter 4. The period of time here is the same period of time in the book of Haggai. It's the same period of time, although there's quite a lot in between the two books, but it's the same period of time. So look at Ezra chapter 4, and it's verse 23, the final two verses. Now, when the copy of King Artaxerxes' letter was read before Rehum and Shemaiah, the scribe, and their companions, they went up in haste to Jerusalem unto the Jews. They were building the temple there at Jerusalem. The temple. They had started to build again the temple. So these people came up to Jerusalem. The Jews were building the temple. Look at your verse. And made them to cease by force and power. Now here was a gang of people who had come up. They didn't like the idea of building the temple, so they're now introducing force to stop the work. Force. And they stopped the work. Look at verse 24. Then ceased the work of the house of God, which is at Jerusalem. So it ceased unto the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia. So this work stops in the second, until the second year of this king Darius. Now I want you to turn over in your Bible to Haggai. Haggai. There's not much to Haggai by way of pages. If you get Zephaniah, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, you might miss Haggai. So if you might come to Zechariah, well, just go back one page and you'll come to Haggai. Amen. Haggai. Yeah. That's the value of coming to the Sunday school and learning the books of the Old and New Testament. The book of Haggai. And we'll look at that in a wee minute. I want to thank Brother Trevor for giving us the invite up tonight to share some things with you, what has happened in the Philippines. I want to thank the brethren and sisters here. There's some of you folk have supported us in the Philippines in a personal way, and also collectively from a church there, the church itself. And I want to thank not only the body of the church, but also personally people who have supported us when we've been in the Philippines. The folk who have prayed for us there, well, I think the Lord has answered your prayers. 2 years ago now, a fellow rang me into the Philippines, and we were discussing about the idea of a building. And he says, Noel, I will give you £500. Take the £500 as from the Lord and start the building. Get the building up. And for the past 2 years now, we have had men employed and paid 6 days a week. They work, and they were paid their own wage every weekend there, Saturday. 3 men, and sometimes 10 men working, sometimes even more than 10 men working there on the site. And every week we were able to pay them their wage, and the building is now up for the glory of the Lord. I think you would have seen this, the flight path into Manila. We would just be standing watching the aeroplanos, that's what they're called, aeroplanes coming in, the jumbo jets and everything arriving there, dropping down into Manila. And I wanted a sign put up, you say. So Val, Brother Val, he got up onto the roof and he painted a big sign, "Jesus Saves," on the roof, so that these people looking out of the plane will be able to see this, "Jesus Saves," and it's up for the glory of God. In the same place where we are, there's a big cross that the chapel, the Roman Catholic Church, put it up, and it would be lit up at night time there, just to remind the people who they are. But however, the place is built now, we've got it painted out, and it's there for the work of the Lord. I want you to look at Haggai. We'll be referring to the work now, but the Lord speaks to Haggai, and in chapter 1, verse 2, "Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, This people say, the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built." That's what the people are saying. That's what God is saying about the people. Okay. You just read it careful. Young people in Bible study, you need to read it slow. Who is speaking? Ask the verse, "Who is speaking?" Then ask the verse, "What is being said?" Find out who's speaking. Find out what he is saying. Find out who is he speaking to. They're very simple questions. And if you apply simple questions to the verses, then your Bible study might begin to live, and you learn that way. It's not how much you read, it is how you read it is important. Is that right, sir? It's not how much you read, it is how you read it. Okay? And so let's look, it's the Lord that's speaking. And then he's saying, the Lord is saying here what the people are saying. That's important now. What are the people saying here? Well, in verse 2, "This people say, the time is not come." This time, it's important to notice the time now. Okay? So they're saying, the time has not come yet. And the time has not come for what, you may ask? What is this time that hasn't come, you say? Well, the time has not come that the Lord's house should be built. So we're now directed to the Lord's house, the Lord's people, and the Lord's house. And the remark is that the people are saying, it's not time to build yet the Lord's house. Now, I know that this is a structure. It's a temple that they're rebuilding here. But we also know that the church is made up of people, living stones. Is that not right? You and me who are saved, the men and women, the adults and the young people tonight who have asked Christ into their hearts, you and I were living stones. We're part of this temple or this church that God is building on earth. People, redeemed people, people who are saved. And so if you look at it in that context, that there's a building program that's going on now. It's going on now. I'm not talking now about bricks and mortar. I'm talking about a spiritual building that's going on. And some people say, the time has not come that this house should be built. Now, young person, I work with teenagers. We have worked with them for many years. And when you're talking to them about the call of God, you're talking to them about serving God. You're talking to them about them stepping into full-time service. That's what you talk to them about. Just like tonight, now, for the Christian young person. And a whole lot of us say, well, I would go if the Lord called me to go. Now, we've heard that before. Now, I know that God calls people. I know that you will wrestle and you will, your mind will be tortured. And God begins to speak and deal with you. Sometimes you just don't know what way to turn. Until you settle it on your knees before the Lord. Lord, I surrender my life. You'll be tortured in your mind. And so, well, at the same time, there are folk who will say, well, the time has not yet come yet for me to do this. I'm waiting on the Lord. That's a familiar expression. I'm waiting on God. Well, when we read our Bibles, I get a feeling that maybe God is waiting on us. Maybe that's the way. You're waiting on God. Perhaps God is waiting on me to obey Him. To say, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. Maybe God is waiting for that, young person. It's nice to say, I'm waiting on the Lord. Well, I think that the Lord has already spoken in His Word. Do you hear Jesus saying, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature? Young person, tonight, ask yourself this question. Does Jesus mean all the world? Does He mean that? You ask that question. Has He changed His mind for this age when He was down on earth? Did He mean for the disciples to go into all the world, preach the gospel then? But now, it's different. Or does our Lord Jesus Christ still mean go into all the world and preach the gospel? Does He still mean it tonight? That's what you have to examine. And then, young person, you ask yourself this question. Why? Why is it that there are still millions, I would suppose there's billions, of people who have not yet heard about Jesus? Why? So we've got a problem. If you want to honestly look at the problem, what we can say is, it's not for me. I live in Coleraine, and And I'm waiting on the Lord speaking to me. That's what you can say, and you can shrug it off. I laugh at people. I'm inwardly hurt, but I laugh. I just look at them when people say, oh, I would go if the Lord calls me. If the Lord calls me. And that's nice. That sounds nice. If God calls me, I will go. Yeah. But however, folk tonight, here's the problem here. They're saying it's not the right time to do the building. It's not the time for me to do this work. Let me tell you, I speak to young people tonight, there will be a time when you'll run out of time. There will come a time when you will run out of time to do this work. And so, well, we stood there on that heap, rubbish heap, 2 years ago, and made the decision, we will build. Amen. And it is there tonight. It is there tonight to a testimony from the people of Northern Ireland, Ulster people, and in particular God's people, a testimony of their generosity to the people in that site. Is that right, Tremor? Praise the Lord. And we thank God. I have not great faith. We would not suggest tonight that we have great faith. But if it's even like a mustard seed, the size of a mustard seed, the Lord will honor that. When I look back now and think of being able to pay the men, buy the material, be up to date, have no bills, as it were, in that sense, it's all paid there. We owe nobody anything, only for the piece of ground. When we think of that, it's an honour to God. God has honoured His word. For example, we needed a car. This is an example. I was talking to a lad who was out, whose uncle deals with cars, and I pumped him. I might need a car. He deals with new cars and MOT cars. And I was saying, you'll have to talk to your uncle to get me a car. Get me one of them old cars that he trades in, that he takes in. But when I got home, I was told to go round to Joanne's house, my daughter's house. And I went round. And here's a car sitting in the driveway, and the textbook pushed through the door, and the Lord had turned up a motor. That's what God is doing to the meeting tonight. Amen. So the Lord does honor faith. He does honor faith. The Lord is faithful. Let's look at this. Let's look at the problem in Haggai's day. Remember that the people had come out, back out of bondage. They were slaves. And now they're set free. They're free now. Just like you and me. We're free in Christ, are we not? Were we not saved out of sin, out of bondage? Free now. We're in Christ now. Here were people away back in that age, and now they have been set free. They're back in Jerusalem again. That's where they are. We are in a spiritual Jerusalem, in the church here. It's just here. It's like a spiritual, isn't it? The Lord has brought us together, brought us into the church. I'm not talking about the building now. I'm talking about the living church, God's church, being sealed, born again, brought in. Maybe you're not in it tonight. You're not saved at all.
maybe you're not in the church of Christ. You haven't got saved yet. You're outside the church.
Well, here's the problem in verse 4. God asks a question. The people are saying it's not the time. And God is saying, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses? God is identifying the problem here of the people. The house of God had been stopped. It's lying waste now. But there was another building program going on. What was that? Looking after ourselves. That's the program that was going on. The sealed houses. My house, your house, everybody's house. All the attention was now being directed to their own dwelling places. God's house now was lying, as it were, derelict. No building program going on now for God's house. It was stopped. Nobody is building in the house of God here. Why? Everybody is looking after themselves. Maybe that's part of the reason why a big part of the world has not heard of Jesus yet. Okay, boys? Maybe that's part of the reason. I'm thinking about myself. I'm thinking about the future of my own life. I want to have a good standard of living. I have my own plans made here in Coleraine. I have them all worked out. I will put my mind to fulfilling my plan. Well, God has a plan. Maybe God will just step in tonight into your life and disturb your heart, disturb your thinking, get your mind shifted from myself, get it shifted on to others who have never heard about Jesus. That's what we need to look at. That's the challenge. And so, when we went into this rubbish tip, it's just a tip full of garbage, 6 foot of garbage there. You've seen it. You've seen pictures of it. We'll not try and explain it. At the present time, there's monsoons going on in there, and it is very wet and it is very muddy. So if you were making your way to church on a Sunday morning to this building, you would get your feet wet and you would get your feet dirty as well. I was texted there this morning early on, and there are 7 hours in front of us now, so they'll be in their bed sleeping. But they had 51 people at church this morning in that building. 51. All baptized into the Roman Catholic Church there. They may not know much of the Roman Catholic teaching, but that's the situation, their background. But thank the Lord, there's 50 of them there attending. You might have between 30 and 60 people in attendance every Sunday morning. We started a wee prayer meeting. I felt, right now, you're coming to church now. We have to give you a meeting during the week. The burden was on for it. And 15 people, maybe 20 people sometimes coming to the meeting. Now, I want you to understand, it's not like here. It's not, the situation's totally different. Out there, it's just mud there, which you've seen. And then there's not much lights on. We have lights in the building, so we would light the building up so that people could try and get some light when they close in on us. You have to remember that out all over the place there's shacks, and it's extremely dark and dangerous as well. And so to get people to come in, we need the rain turned off in the evening time at 6 o'clock there. And we just need some light into the area to attract more people. We may bring it earlier, even into the daylight, so as to accommodate the people who do come. And then on the Sunday morning, I was told there's 112 children in Sunday school today, this morning. Those kids will have walked in and picked their way through the mud to get to Sunday school. How many teachers teaching them? Two. Labourers are few. Not only here, but there. It's the same problem. Yeah. Two girls will be teaching them every Sunday. It's a children's meeting. We divide them up there. Older ones upstairs, younger ones downstairs. So you just have like a children's meeting then to handle the crowd. When the group was out in the summer, there was 200 children at Sunday school. So you can imagine that you're standing there playing the accordion and you're just ringing with sweat. It's not very pleasant, yeah. But however, it's done for Jesus. So at this time now, there will be between 100 to 200 kids hearing the word of the Lord. Amen. Now it takes sacrifice to do that. This is what we're talking about tonight. Look, you can say, well, it's not for me. We're not only talking about the Philippines, talking about the world. God, young person, you present your life to God, and God will guide your life to where He wants you. Don't you pick your area or your country where you're going. You let the Lord guide you. What the Lord wants is a life that's consecrated to God, surrendered to Him. Will you do that? It's not me and my will. It's me and God's will for my life. Now, here's what they're saying. Oh, well, we have our houses. We're concentrating in my own home here. So look at verse 5, chapter 1, verse 5. The Lord of hosts, He's saying, consider your way. Consider your ways. Consider it. Where are you heading for? Consider your way. The best thing to do, if you're being honest with yourself, be honest with yourself. Get into your bedroom, shut the door, get down with a Bible, and just consider, what am I doing for God? What am I doing for God? There's work to be done here. It's children's work. Whatever night the children's work is on. Then there's Sunday school work. Then there's bringing one next month to the meeting. One, not a half a dozen. If you get a half a dozen, amen. Amen. But bring one. Ask one. Bring one prayer. That's work. You're starting here in Coleraine. Starting a church, wherever church you come from. Do something for Jesus here. It doesn't... If you're like Jonah lying down sleeping in Coleraine, you would just be like Jonah lie down and sleep in China with a billion heathen, right? Just because I change position, it won't set me on fire for God. I need to start working now in my local church for God. And then... God will take note of this. Other people will take note of it too. You start work here, and then the Lord will intensify the burden. These people are saying, God's saying, consider your ways. A young man, I'm asking, God can say to you tonight, consider your way. What are you aiming for? Young girl tonight, what are you aiming for? What is your ambition for the rest of your life? Is it service for the Lord? What am I thinking about? The great Hudson Taylor. He sat in a barn one day, and God reminded Hudson Taylor that he presented his life when he was six. Six. When he jumped up out of his seat and he said, "Daddy, I'll give my life to God." What age? Six. But he forgot about it. So now, in the barn, he's thinking about, in his day, getting horses and not fast cars, horses, and getting a job and getting a good house and a bank account. That's what was in Hudson Taylor's mind when God spoke to him again. What about China, Hudson? And Hudson Taylor surrendered his life and went to China. That's where he lived and died as a pioneer missionary, a giant for God. And so we have to consider our ways. Young person, do you do anything for your church? I got saved on the 4th of November 1962. The next week I went round to I was in the prayer meeting. I went round to that, but I'm talking about church work. I came in, I looked round the children's meeting on Friday night. I said to the man, "Give me the worst row. I'll sit in the middle of them." My pocket was full of sweets. And when Maris says, "Uncle Noel's row is the best row tonight," I felt, I know, very proud. I had them all warned about the sweets. Yeah, and that's how we started in the work of the Lord. Okay? But to become a Sunday school teacher? No. I remember my friend on the Friday night prayer meeting, and he argued with me until daylight. It was daylight on Saturday morning after the prayer meeting, and then he nailed me, "Become a Sunday school." "No, I can't do it." "How do you know you can't do it? Have you tried it?" "No, I'm telling you, look, I'm saying that it's not the time." That's what I'm trying to say tonight. It's not the time for me. I can't do it. I'm not able to do it. Blah, arguing and arguing. Until I said, "All right, Billy, I'll give it a shot. Amen. I'll try it." And I had this. And the only time we missed our Sunday school class was when my wife was seriously ill in hospital. And you could count it on the two hands now, over 40 years. Or when I was asked to do a children's day meeting where I had to go. So if you are asked to be a Sunday school teacher, what I'm saying is, be there every Sunday for the Lord. For the children will be there. Isn't that right? They'll be there looking for you if you're not there. I think that's the greatest crime that you could commit. The class is there, but the teacher's not. Where's the teacher? But however, the Lord is saying, consider your ways. Consider your way. I had to consider the way. I felt after 25 years in Belfast that I had come to a climax in the city. I felt I could continue on. I could have those meetings and take other wee meetings and just create work. And I do that till you retire, 65. But when we met children who had never heard about Jesus, that did something to our hearts. That affected us. And so the challenge was, well, what are you going to do? What will you do now? And so, young person, it'll come to you the same way. You will be challenged. What way will I now go? Thank God for Heather and Stephen. Is it Stephen? Papua New Guinea. Amen. I think it's marvellous for two people to say, right, we're going out for a year, 6 months. It doesn't matter. Amen. Hallelujah. 6 months is better than no months. But however, look at verse 6. Ye have sown much
and bring in little. Isn't that interesting?
That's an interesting verse there. And then you earn wages to put it into a bag full of holes. The Lord says, consider our ways. Huh? Look at verse 9. You looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when you brought it home, a blew on it. Why, saith the Lord? The Lord asks the question, why? Why is this dearth? Why? There seems to be a lot of action going on, a lot of activity, but there seems to be little reaping, and the Lord says, why? He asked the question in verse 9, why, saith the Lord of hosts, why? Why is there so little production or so little harvest? Why? Well, then the Lord answers the question too. He asks the question, but he answers it so that you and I understand. Why? Because of mine house that is waste. Waste. Well, I can say tonight that where we are, it's waste. Lives wasted. We're talking now about lives that are wasted. In 3 years working the area, we met two boys, Baptist lads, who had crossed over the river with tracks to give tracks out in the area. It's a wasted area. I'm talking now about people forgotten because they're squatters. Yeah. And there they are, getting on with their lives, but wasted. So we have to ask the question, who will go and tell them about Jesus? Will you go? Young person, you go? Well, there's no use asking the older ones tonight. No. The older ones, God will want you to pray and give to the goers. Yeah. But the young people, it hinges on you, you know. Really hinges on the youth. It's the youth that has got youth. It's the youth that has got force to go. Unfortunately, not so much going today. Why? Bucket. Bucket means why. Bucket. Why? Only you can answer the question. Individually, why? Why is there not so much going? Mine house is wasted. And ye run every man onto his own house. That's the problem. They're thinking about themselves. Yeah? They have their own ideas. They have their own plans made. We're now safe. We're out of bondage. We're back in Jerusalem. Now it's time to build our own house and get settled down. Don't disturb me. I have my own plans. It looks as if that's what's being done here in Haggai. But the Lord's watching. And then he stirs up a man. Yeah, he gets him going here. Get you in among the people. Give the challenge. Mine house. Verse 9, that is, it's because of mine house that is waste. I have a sneaking feeling, brother. I'm only suggesting it now. I can't say if this is right or wrong, but I will suggest it to your mind. Maybe, if the church, I'm talking general now, it can be particular, Korean church, particular. But I'm talking if the church in Ulster, general, got stirred up and its mind concentrated on mission fields across the world. Maybe
we would enter in the blessing again in Ulster. Not thinking so much about ourselves, but thinking about the have-nots, if you want to call them that, they haven't got the gospel anyway. Thinking and concentrating our minds overseas missions. Maybe God would begin to pour out his blessing again upon us.
Here's people, and they're thinking inwardly, and God says, my house, look at 10, therefore the heaven over you is stead from dew, and the earth is stead from her fruit.
I tell you, young person, the greatest blessing you'll enter into is helping others into the arms of Jesus. That's the greatest thing and you'll ever do. It's the greatest work.
I think, brother, wasn't it you told me you stood outside the house and looked at the stars one night and ran, wasn't it you? Your minister had to face this and wrestle it out with God. He was demented. What will I do? God working in the heart. The heart. Yeah, now God has brought the heart to a position where you'll have to do something now. And it's surrender, Lord. I'm giving you my heart. My son, give me your heart, the Bible says.
And so tonight, he's saying the same thing. Give me your heart. For service. I'm talking about Christian young people in this meeting tonight. Consider your ways. Could I suggest that you consider Jesus? Let's look at him. You can look at lives, missionaries, men who will inspire. Let's look at Jesus. Do you see him? In the Garden of Gethsemane. See him? The church has fallen asleep. Peter and James, they're sleeping. Jesus is on his own now. He's away on his own. He's a stone's cast away there, isn't he? Do you hear him? He's fallen down now on the ground. He's on his hands and knees. And what's he saying? Have you ever read what he says? He's sweating, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. This is pressure on Jesus here. Yes, he's in a bloody sweat here. This is not easy for Jesus. No. This is a struggle. We know that he has come from heaven to earth to die. And he knows it too. But here's this great struggle now going on in the Garden of Gethsemane. Watch him. Consider his way. And what's he saying? He's saying, not my will, but thine be done. That's total surrender to God's will. Of course, his will and the Father's will were one will. That's why we're here tonight. Is that right, brother? That's why we're here. His will and the Father's will were one. To die. What was the Father's will, young man? Death. Death, young lady. The Father's will for Jesus was death. What's the Father's will for you? It's death. It's death. Jesus taught the people and he said, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and dies, it'll abide alone. But if it dies, it'll bring forth fruit. It's death. Death to what? What do we mean when we talk about death? It's dying to my ambition. It's dying to my will. It's death to my friends. It's death to all my personal ambition. I now present my life to God. It's his life now. I must do what he tells me to do. Death to self. That's what it is. Are you prepared for that, young fella? Young girl? if you're not a heathen, dies and goes to hell. They die and go to hell.
I'm not saying that if you said, I'll do this to you, and that you will land on a mission field. I'm not saying that at all. God will reveal His plan for your life day by day. He will not reveal the plan for 20 years. No, you don't get a blueprint plan. It will be day by day. God will lead, but do you want Him to lead? Consider our way. But anyway, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel in verse 14. He seems to be the leader. Do you see it? And in verse 14, the spirit of all the remnant of the people, and they came and did work in the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. Here's the Lord stirring Zerubbabel. He goes out and he's preaching, and others get stirred up and they say, we'll go with you to build this house. Amen. There was a man, and they're all moved now. The heavy squad moved them off this site, but they had moved in and they were squatting maybe for 5-6 months there, just in front, over to the left hand side, going toward the prison. Trevor, and coming in this day to school, the little school, this boy came over with a pound coin. He found a pound coin. He had an English pound coin, or sterling. So he flagged me down, and he knew who I was. So he says, I have found a pound of your money. He wanted me to change it to pesos. So he says, it's your queen is on the other side of it. He showed me the queen. So I gave him 110p. He made money that day. Amen. So we changed it for him. We had a wee yarn. That was it. Then another day, he brought over an Australian $2 coin. That would make you suspicious, wouldn't it? He says, I found that one too. So... Oh, I don't know how much, and he knew what it was, how much it was. So we changed it and had another yarn with him about the Lord. Then Pastor Tony came in on a Saturday and we said, we've met this boy here. Would you come and you can talk to him? And lo and behold, here's a man who, he says, I'm a backslider. He says, I used to be a caretaker for a Baptist pastor, and he gave me a couple of hundred pesos. The pastor was trying to keep him alive, you see, and give him something to do about the church. He says, my favourite books and authors was D.L. Moody, and there was another man, Prince, they called him the Prince. So we'll let him try and work it out first who the prince was. You say, do you know who the prince is? The prince, the preachers? Do you know who they are? Who he is? Your preacher knows, your minister, he of course would know. But Spurgeon, oh, he says Spurgeon. No, it's not you. The right thing. Amen. No, he said, yes, that's right, it's Spurgeon. See it? And he says, I love reading Spurgeon. Could you imagine finding a boy like that on the garbage? He says, I'm just a scavenger. Just a scavenger. When the truck dumps its garbage, he's in amongst it. Well, everybody else just trying to find plastics and nails and anything, tins, put them in bags to sell it off. He says, I'm just a scavenger. Brought us into his shack, apologized for his condition there. And then the tears began to run, began to cry. And I thought, on this site, here's a backslider weeping, wanting to get back to the Lord. Let me tell you something. If you put your life down in the altar for the Lord, then God gives you a burden.
It's for a purpose. It's for a reason.
And God will give you souls.
I say, well, he that wins souls is wise.
But you need to just say, Lord,
I'm giving you my life. I want you to guide me. I want you to direct me. I'm willing to do this or that for Jesus.
Amen. I'll finish with this. Do you see chapter 2? Look at chapter 2.
There.
I'll finish with this. Look at chapter 2. See on verse 19? Just that little phrase.
Is the seed yet in the barn? Is the seed yet in the barn?
Is the seed yet
in the barn? The seed, if it's stuck in the barn, you haven't rolled up your sleeves and went out into the field and dug it over and got rid of the weeds and ploughed it and got it right to sow seeds. It's still in the barn. The seed. I think you would know, living in cold rain, that if the seed is not sown, there'll be no harvest. No harvest. So, tonight, is the seed yet in the barn? Or is there someone who will say, I will take that seed and I will sow it for Jesus? Is it going to lie in the barn? Are you going to produce arguments why you shouldn't sow the seed? Are you going to say, the time is not yet come for me to do this?
Well, I want you to pray for me. We'll go back out again, brethren and sisters. We'll aim for the first week of January. We'll take up the work again. There's two girls working it now. Thank God for them. Two girls. Yeah. On that site, keeping this thing working, Pastor Tony, on a Sunday. You pray for the work there. We have got it up and running. Now we will look to an area dead end, where you just run out onto the marsh land there. Dead end street would be enough work for you for a lifetime. One street. You wouldn't need to leave it. Just one street running down the main river. Is that right, brother? Just one street. Keep you going for a lifetime. Having meetings in it. And they're crying out. Yeah. How thirsty the Filipino is for the gospel. He'll not tear up your track. He will not throw it down on the ground. He will want a Bible. They will can you give me a Bible, sir?
Yes. And then tenement. Tenement is just those flats, maybe six high, five high, six high. And it's a derelict place. Derelict. But they live there. They live there. A dangerous place, but they live there. Hundreds and hundreds. Enough to start a meeting in a Sunday school. Just like that. You'd have 100 kids in it. Just like that. Have it there on site. Amen. Don't need to bring them in. Just have it there on the site underneath the flats. Amen. It's all there. Yes. And Cambodia too. But we have to say, Lord Jesus, I surrender my life. Sacrifice. Sacrifice. Do you see when you're there and all you're listening to is Tagalog, a foreign language, and you can't really pick it up all that well, and you don't know what's being said, and you're feeling isolated. And the terrible heat, and then the bites. There were some of them, those young people had 40 mosquito bites on them. The electricity blew up on us. We had to burn candles, the heat at night there. It was terrible. Yeah. But it was being done for Jesus. Amen. Will you do it? Thank you very much, sir.
Maybe we could just sing one verse of 526. It's been a challenge to ourselves from the swamp.